Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10, and Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The Reverend Jeffrey Hemmer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The epistle for the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said the above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You've heard again now the annunciation, the announcement, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, Emmanuel, God with us. Today is the feast of our Lord's incarnation par excellence. Incarnate means enfleshed. As Hebrews says, our God has a body. This is not the conversion of his divinity into flesh, but it is the assumption of our humanity into God. He is a man. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and out of the flesh of the Virgin Mary. She, consequently, has been made the Mother of God. To deny that title, astonishing as it is, would be to deny that her son is God. That he is God as a grown man, that he is God as a kicking fetus, that he is God even as a single-celled zygote. Fully God and fully man in one person. Anything less would deny the incarnation. And we confess that it is necessary to eternal salvation that we faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son began his incarnate existence just like we did. He was like us from the moment of conception in every way except sin. How did he take up flesh from Mary? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not work apart from the external word. So it is that Mary conceives by hearing and believing Gabriel's annunciation. Now, how rarely does this feast happen to fall in this third week of Lent? White pyramids and Christmas carols may seem out of place here amid violet and demons and Christ's passion. But what a delightful juxtaposition. In Sunday's gospel, that woman came up to Jesus and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you." And Jesus says to her, "Sure, as long as you understand why. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And here we see how the Virgin Mary indeed is blessed in this way, hearing and believing. "Let it be to me according to your word," she says. And God's word does just what it promises. Why did our Lord have to do this? Why did he take up flesh? So that he could keep the law and fulfill it in our place. So that he could die also. So that he could die as our substitute, suffering God's wrath against sin in our place. Why is God man? He is man to face temptation without sin, to cast out evil, to honor his Father for us. The Son himself said as much in his Psalms, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written me in the scroll of the book." He was born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, to reconcile us in his body of flesh by his death. Jesus was obedient to his Father's will to do all that God requires of mankind and to suffer all that sinful mankind has deserved. He both acted and he suffered, not for himself, but in our place, a man substituted for all men. And why must our Savior also be God? So that his life and his suffering and his death can be the ransom for all people. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, but also it's impossible for one man to stand in for all humans. But nothing will be impossible with God. In Jesus, God tips the scales and more than counterbalances against the world's sin. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is God's body, it is God's blood that are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And who but God could overcome death, could overcome the devil for us? The child is called Emmanuel, the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Apart from the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man, and the only mediator between God and man, there is no access to the true God. Apart from the incarnation, there can be no forgiveness of sins, no salvation, no Lent, no Easter. This is also why the Lord's Supper is so central to the life of the Christian church. It's so that we never lose sight of this incarnation. So yes, this announcement has to come today. It has to come and interrupt all of our usual chapel patterns, all of our usual Lenten patterns, not only with all the joyful parts of the service, but also with the Blessed Sacrament. And how could it not be? How strange would it be, dear friends, if we would come and remember that our God is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, and yet not do this in remembrance of him, as he said. The Lord's word does what it says, and it gives what it promises, as St. Mary could attest. And we, dear saints, dear blessed hearers, just like her, we are favored beyond all measure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.